That's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with you today. I tell you what, when you see the video, you're going to see some fantastic wooden bowls that are sitting here on the table. In fact, if you go onto Facebook, you'll see the bowls that she's posted. Tom Simpson is with us from Claw. We've got Claw, we've got Gasp, we've got the Medical Alliance. Do you have an acronym for yours, the Medical Alliance, Jamie?
Well, we're just GCMA. It doesn't spell anything.
Right. So we've got Jamie Terracetas. She is with the Medical Alliance. We've got Laura Baczynski. She is a Potter extraordinaire. How you doing today, Laura?
I'm well, Ann. How are you?
Very good. I know, I just want to say, I know that you've been talking to them over at Fox Hollow about all the damage and everything. How are they doing over there?
They're doing well. They really are in need of some financial assistance to help purchase some of the things that have been lost in the flood. So if anyone wants to give a Visa card, I'm sure that it would be okay if they dropped them off here at Sharp Facets, and we would make sure that they would get them.
That's right. Or they can take them by Wellness Works, I think,
yes.
Is also accepting
yes.
them.
Yes.
But you were talking about Amy over there, who was going to walk her dog. It was raining, and she looked for her umbrella and went...
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, her umbrella was in her car, and her car had been flooded and taken away. And so it's little things like that that they're realizing each day as you go to get something that you're going to use or, you know, think about something you need, and it's not there. So that's why they're in need of Visa cards so they can go out to wherever they want and purchase the things that are missing.
Like umbrellas,
like so many different things. And, of course, FEMA will be working with them, but that doesn't help you from day to day getting what you need. And, of course, right here is Norm Fawcett here with the Soup Kitchen. And one of the things the Soup Kitchen does is provides meals, lunchtime meals, for those in need. And, gosh, Norm, you've been doing this for so many years. We were just talking before we came on the air about what the need, how much your budget was back in, what, 2007, 2008? What
That's
was that
right.
budget?
Well, we think in... people can relate a little bit better to meals. We served about 23,000 meals in 2007, 2008. We served 37,000 last year.
You know, when you think about it in that terms, you really see the need has really grown. One would have hoped. What was the height when you served the most meals?
The height was just bordering on 40,000. 39,600. That would have been in 2012, 2013.
So even though the economy is better, it's not really reflected in those numbers, is it?
It really isn't. We're truly blessed and thankful that our numbers have stabilized. They're not going up anymore. But they're not going down as fast as you might think they would be when you look at the unemployment numbers coming out of Washington. And our friends tell us in the know in the Greenwood area that's because
people
run out, people stop looking, and if they don't get an unemployment check, they're not counted. So the real unemployment rate is much higher in Greenwood and in most counties across the country than the published numbers.
You know, Norm, that brings up another question. How have you been able to cover the increase? Because I know originally you got most of your donations, et cetera, from churches. All the churches supported the Soup Kitchen. You're not a federal project. You do this pretty much on your own, don't you?
We receive virtually no government money, either local or federal or statewide. And yes, the churches are still incredibly generous to us, but without empty bowls surfacing literally at the time when our numbers started to go through the roof, we just simply would not have been able to feed all the hungry people that there is in Greenwood. And it's not that the churches, as I say, they're still incredibly important to us, but over the last 4 or 5 years, they've been hurting too.
Sure.
Their contributions are down. So what do they do? You know, So without Empty Bowls starting 7 years ago, we would have been cutting back. We would have been doing 4 days a week instead of 6 days. I don't know what we would have been doing, but luckily we didn't have to address that.
You know, and when you think about 7 years ago, what was it, roughly $6,000 that came in from Empty Bowls?
That's right. We were, and you can't believe how happy we were to get $6,000 from Empty Bowls. But then over the years, in year two or year three, somebody said the word sponsor, and that just totally changed the picture at all. We went from, I don't know, 6,000 to 11,000 to 15,000 to 21,000 to 27,000. And last year, in our sixth year, we made over $30,000. And we are going to top that again this year.
It's kind of hard to believe that literally selling bowls, right, could raise that much money, yeah. Isn't it?
Well, the first year we sold bowls.
Right.
And we sold out. We
right.
sold all the tickets. So we're limited to the number of seats, of course, we have at the soup kitchen. And the committee, every year we revisit that. And we feel it's very important that the people that don't come and eat with us every noon hour actually get to see the soup kitchen. We're proud of what we do there. We treat everyone with the dignity and respect that anyone deserves, whether you're rich or whether you're falling on tough times. And this year we will make over $21,000 from the generous over 50 sponsors, individuals, service groups, businesses, doctor's offices, practices, lawyers. We will make
any
over $21,000.
Any Indian chiefs?
No. Do you
doctors,
know any?
Lawyers, Indian chiefs.
I'll call them if you know any of them.
It would be nice to have an Indian chief on the roster, wouldn't it? That is phenomenal.
It's what a great community we live in.
It is
a great
community.
Then, of course, there's the 10, 12 restaurants in town that donate all the soup. So the woodworkers, Claw and Gasp, do all the bowls and donate them. We don't pay a penny for them. We don't buy the soup. They're provided. All the help is from the Greenwood County Medical Alliance, Emerald Internet, Emerald Interact Club. And we get some teenagers in the soup. We love having young people at the soup kitchen because they learn a very valuable lesson, is that they can do good and have fun at the same time.
I think it's terrific. I think, you know, we've seen the stories on TV about the flood victims and everything, and seeing that child carrying the pack of water to donate and everything. And that's such an important lesson. And working in something like this is so important. You know, Jamie, as far as what you are able to do with the Medical Alliance here, how have they been able to capture all these doctors and lawyers and, well, no Indian chiefs, but how have you been able to get them to sponsor? I think that's terrific.
Well, all of us on the committee are always looking for sponsors. That's the work. That's the work of every one of us. A lot of us have just called people we know, businesses we frequent, friends that we have, and as soon as we think of somebody else, we let everybody else know, I'm going to get this one. And so,
husbands you sleep with?
That one too. And so we
and those
we have
that you don't. There you go. Okay.
So all of us, the people from GASP, Soup Kitchen board members, Alliance members, we're all looking for sponsors.
It is. But I tell you what, now, how many years have you been in this position here, Jamie, of pulling this together?
Oh, pretty much from the beginning, I think the second year for me.
Yeah.
The Medical Alliance was involved from the beginning because we needed somebody to work on some of the other jobs besides all this bowl making that the the potters work on for so many months ahead. At the beginning, it was board members from the soup kitchen as well as Alliance members who were working on getting the donations of soup. We make the desserts, we arrange for volunteers that night, and so a lot of our involvement has to do with actually making that night work.
Oh, that's great. And because it is the Medical Alliance, they do have a relationship with a lot of doctors.
That helps.
And, you know, I think this is the major project that you work on during the year, isn't it, Jamie?
It is. It's really the only one now. We still have some scholarships that we give to nursing students at Piedmont Tech and Lander, but our big project of the year is Empty Bowls.
That's right. So you work on that. Norm, what do you have to do for this project?
Absolutely nothing. I got to come on the radio.
It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
I always say, and it's like all the 185 volunteers that we have at the soup kitchen. I carry the title, and everybody else does the work, you see. So, in all seriousness, I don't know how many times I've told this story. These ladies and gentlemen are probably getting tired of hearing it, but I don't know. I probably, you know, in a month's time, I probably have 5-6 people come up to me and say, you know, Norm, you need money. You know what you should do? Here's a great idea. Boom, 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 boom. And then they walk away.
Right.
Well, these people came in 2009 and said, we got a great idea. And they stuck around and they made the bowls and they found the volunteers and they found the soup. And there's, a lot of work that goes into this, and without all these wonderful people, it wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't happen.
You know, Laura, I think probably one of the most satisfying things, though, is being there that night and seeing people appreciate and spend the time that they do picking out that bowl, whether it's a wooden bowl or a regular pottery soup bowl.
It is. It's one of my favorite parts of the evening is to watch people as they choose, and you can never ever predict who will pick what and why, which is a reason why we have 700 plus bowls to choose from. There will be a bowl for every person who comes on Thursday night. There will be more bowls than every single person that comes on Thursday night. We divide the bowls up into three different serving times. So the first person who comes in at 5:30 has a fabulous choice, and the last person who comes in for the 7:30 seating has fabulous choice of bowls. And I really want for people to understand that, because I think sometimes people think that 7:30 seating is
the leftovers.
There is no such thing as a leftover bowl at Empty Bowls. In fact, we call it second helpings, the bowls that we have at the end of the night. We always make sure we have more bowls than tickets sold so that everybody has a good choice. And speaking of second helpings, on Friday, the 16th, from 11 till 6 p.m., we will be in front of Howard's on Main, and that will be our second helpings. For those people who were not able to purchase tickets because we are sold out, that's a great opportunity. There will be lots of fabulous bowls, and we'll be there from 11 until 6, unless we sell out of soup or bowls before that. Howard Corley is generously donating soup to everybody who comes and purchases a bowl for the same $20 that the ticket is for Thursday night. So it's another great opportunity. Helps us sell more bowls, and all that money, 100% of that goes to the soup kitchen as well.
Wow. That's terrific. So you'll have two opportunities. If you haven't gotten your ticket yet, you don't need a ticket for Friday, is that right? You do not need
a
ticket?
It's first come, first serve.
That's right. So if you're there at 11:02, you get to see. But I even assume that during the day you'll be putting out more bowls.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that's what they do throughout the night at Empty Bowls also.
Right.
They don't put all the bowls out at 5:30 for the 5:30 sitting. They have them in roughly in thirds. And so
and
Laura
a good selection,
right.
And a good selection of each artist that has done work.
That's right.
That's how we divide them up by artists. So when somebody brings in their contribution of bowls, whether it's five bowls or we do have a member who's made more than 50 bowls this year. What we'll do is we'll take that total amount, divide it into thirds, and put a third of those out at 5:30, a third of those out at 6:30, and a third of those out at 7:30. So there's always a representation of all the potters, and the woodworkers. We do the same thing with the woodworkers and with the basket makers that have generously given us some beautiful bread baskets.
Wow. So that's the deal, folks. You can go out there. You know, I think it's always harder, though, when you have to make a choice. And, you know, one of the things that is hard, I would think, is to make a choice between a pottery bowl or some of these beautiful wooden bowls like that are sitting on our table. Now, Tom, tell us a little bit. You are big into CLAW, right? Yes, the woodworkers group. How did you get involved in doing woodwork?
Oh, golly. High school?
High school?
50 years ago.
Did you make bowls all your life?
No.
No?
I saw them sitting on my grandfather's dresser, and I decided I was going to make one like that one day. And when I got into high school, I was in a shop and made a really nice-looking bowl. I still have it. And I never turned another bowl for 50 years. And I started woodworking, making cabinets and furniture and things like that maybe 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And somebody introduced me to a woodlathe again, and I've been
hooked ever since.
Yeah, I just like turning bowls. I love the wood and what it looks like after you get done with it. And
well, you know, I gotta say here, Tom, some of these are very, very unique. I mean, they are the rustic pieces of the wood, and you just have added a bowl type shape. But you don't actually serve soup in these bowls, do we?
No, if you choose a wooden bowl, they'll give you a plastic bowl to put your soup in, and you take the wooden bowl home.
That's right.
In a bag. And they're food safe finished, so you can use them for food. Most of them will hold soup. I've eaten quite a bit of it out of a wooden bowl, but they're easy to take care of. You just rinse it off and wipe it dry and put it up, let it dry. It'll be fine. You don't put them in a microwave, and you don't put them in an oven. And try not to put them in a dishwasher. They're not too happy about that. But wooden bowls are a traditional eating utensil, and they've been around an awful long time.
Now, Jamie, I understand that you were thinking this year that you would get some bowls to give away as Christmas gifts, but as you've been sitting here looking at Tom's bowls, I understand you've kind of changed your opinion. I mean, for all those that were anticipating Christmas gifts from Jamie with these, what's the deal, Jamie?
Well, every year I go, and I've built up quite a few bowls, you know, with the family of four going to Empty Bowls and getting all these bowls in. But each one is so special, and I have my bowls from the different potters. But each year I think, oh, I have enough bowls. This year I'll pick out some to give to somebody for Christmas, and then I'll go in there and say, oh, I don't have one like this. So I still haven't given away even one bowl, and I have a lot of bowls.
So that's what makes this so neat, and the very fact that I think these bowls are made with a whole lot of love to do something for our community and to help the soup kitchen, that many times the only meal that somebody gets is that lunchtime meal. And I know we talk so much about the soup, but Norm, there's more than just soup that goes with for the lunchtime meals, isn't there?
Well, when Roxy and I, my wife, moved here in 1999-2000 and started soon after that at the soup kitchen, it was not unusual. Yes, it's always homemade soup. I always say, some people say the best in town.
Right.
But it was often a bowl of soup and a bologna sandwich.
Right.
But over the years, we've been able to find very generous restaurants that aren't totally controlled by their lawyers and won't let any food go out of the back door.
Right.
And I don't think they'd mind me saying Little Caesars, Wesley Commons, Miss Ann's Chicken, Elsie's Bakery, on and on and on. And I shouldn't say some because I won't say them all. But our guests get that the best soup in town.
Right.
Homemade every day, 12 to 15 gallons homemade every day. But they also get pork chops, and they also get spare ribs, and they also get pizza, and they also, so it's now turned into not a meal, it is always a hot meal, and generally there's always protein. It's nicely balanced. There's meat, There's a vegetable, there's some sort of starch, dessert, and of course a drink. So they do eat well, and if they leave hungry, it's their fault.
That's right. And also during times where you have more children there, like during holidays and this type of thing, you try to make that accommodation, don't you, like in the summertime, to have things for kids there too?
We do, and we always have apple juice for them instead of sweet tea. We always have applesauce, so we again try to make them special too.
That's right. So it's a great program. And, of course, where are you located for those that don't know where the soup kitchen is, Norm?
We're at the we have since, again, 2009 was a big year for us. We started off, this is our 28th year of continuous operation at the soup kitchen. And we jokingly say, but it's a true story, that the first day at the Episcopal Church of the Resurrection down in the basement when we started in 1987, 18 volunteers served 14 people. Our numbers
today
have gone up a bit since then.
Right.
But and then we moved into First Presbyterian Church, and in 2009 we outgrew First Presbyterian, and we're now in, to answer your question, the United Center for Community Care on Phoenix Street, which is the old Blake School, and.
Which was the Burton Center there for a while.
Which was the Burton Center. And then when they moved out, Dr. Parham, Jack Parham, a man that has done so much for this community in so many ways, saw this empty building and he said, what a waste. And he had a vision of one-stop shopping for the needy. And so now the United Center is filled only with 501c3 charitable corporations and people who help the needy. And we're there, and the food bank is there. The United Way was very instrumental in getting that building up and operational. And many, many other agencies are in there now. And we truly have now found a permanent home. It's a big building. There's room for us to expand if we need to. And we're truly blessed in so many ways, and the United Center is one of them.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to join South Carolina Radio News. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Sharp Facets this afternoon. Boy, I tell you what, it's nice to see the sun out there and feel the breeze too. It's going to help dry things out. But Norm, who brought empty bowls as an idea to the soup kitchen? Where does empty bowls actually come from?
Empty bowls is literally an international phenomenon. It started, I believe, in 1992. And it is now in 33, 34, 35 countries. But the theme is always the same. It's always artisans, local craftspeople, very talented craftspeople that partner with food banks and or soup kitchens to feed the hungry. So the concept is the same everywhere. And it was actually a lady that doesn't like being on the radio, but she worked so hard at this, Donna Connolly and Laura Bajinski, who brought the idea to us in 2009. And Donna had been on the internet. She is a potter, a very gifted potter, and she thought, what a neat idea. And there
Chicago.
She was. And
that's
she
what
was.
I thought. She was actually at one.
She went to an event, an Empty Bowls event in Chicago, and came back and said to our pottery class, we should do this. And we were just naive enough to say, we should. We could do that. We could try that. And poor Donna, I think that first year made, I don't know, it was almost 200 bowls herself, because she was so worried that we wouldn't have enough bowls. And anyway, I know she's really proud of what's happened with this event, that it's gone from that to. Yeah.
And then she just keeps giving. You know, this year she came up with the idea of an Empty Bowls Facebook page. It was actually started last year, but really brought to fruition this year. And started promoting Empty Bowls back in the April-May timeframe, and like you can only do on social media. And the end result of that was that all of our sit-down tickets, not take-out, but all of our sit-down tickets sold out within 10 days. 10 days of them going on sale, because everybody knew they were going on sale September 2nd. And boy, they sell out every year, so you better buy your tickets. And we sold over 400 tickets in 10 days. And I subscribe that to the work that Donna did and Laura did with Facebook and social media. Amazing.
It is amazing what you can do with Facebook, isn't it there, Laura?
It is. The thing that's been so exciting is to, the last couple weeks, Donna has been highlighting different bowl makers. So you'll see a picture of a potter or a picture of a woodworker, and then you'll see the work that they're doing. She also has been putting up these great shots of long tables full of bowls, which just then you get to see is, you know, there's how many there are. So it's been very, very exciting.
Now, who's been, who has contributed? There's been a lot of different groups that have contributed bowls, correct?
Yes, the Greenwood Area Studio Potters, that's the GASP group. We contribute all of the, most of the pottery bowls. And then, of course, CLAW, the Council of Lakeland Area Woodworkers, they provide, there's over 100 wooden bowls that they've provided this year. We are very lucky to partner with Lander University with the art department and Sandy Singletary and her students, who have made some beautiful and very interesting hand-built bowls. They're not thrown on a wheel. They're handmade clay. And we're also very lucky to have a number of her students volunteering that evening. They're going to be coming and helping direct inside traffic. Erskine College has provided some bowls. Piedmont Technical College's pottery program has provided bowls. Lakeland's Basketry Guild, again, I said, has provided baskets for us, which are perfect for those people who've come to Empty Bowls year after year and they're thinking they might want something different. A basket is a great way to serve bread with your soup from your bowls before. And then Bev and Dave Justin from Sunrise Stained Glass Studios also provide some beautiful fused glass bowls for us.
You know, one of the things about the bowls, though, is they don't ever seem to repeat. Even if you have the same potters, they're always different, aren't they, Laura?
It's true. I think this year in particular, I've so enjoyed unpacking all the boxes and seeing what people have brought. Every year, I feel like, wow, look at these bowls. This year, everybody has stepped it up. There are some incredible bowls, ranging from very simple but beautifully glazed bowls to some very fancy handmade bowls that look like flowers to wooden bowls that have bark still attached to them that are spectacular. And the baskets, I mean, they're beautiful this year. There's handles on them. There's inside fabric lining so that, you know, your bread stays nice and toasty warm. It's going to be a great year for bowl selection.
It is a great, yeah, it is. And, you know, that's what you can say. Even when you think you've gotten all the same, you know, it's going to be the same. It's always different. That's why Jamie over here was going to give gifts, but she's going to have to just keep more for the house.
Yeah, you know, I don't have any wooden bowls yet, and I don't have any baskets.
Now, Tom, you were talking about Colleen. She has a big bowl collection. Of course, she should, because you make so many of these bowls. But even eventually, what do you say? You know, you got to give some up here, Colleen.
It's been a blessing to be able to donate the bowls Empty Bowls projects. It gives me an excuse to make more, and it gives me another outlet. After a while, if you're a maker of woodworking stuff or pottery stuff, eventually every one of your friends has all the bowls that they can use. So you're looking for an outlet, and this is a wonderful excuse and a wonderful opportunity to make more bowls.
You know, but the thing about it is, how long does it take to make a bowl? I mean, if we're just talking about in a wooden bowl and just not some of these fancy ones that I'm sure take a lot more time, but something simple bowl, how long does it take to make it from start to finish?
Well, first you take a chainsaw. And,
I like this idea. Okay, first you take a chainsaw.
You rough turn them and then finish turning, let them dry out, and then finish turning them and start sanding on them. And you could have, some of the bowls in front of us out here now have 15 or 20 hours into them.
15 or 20 hours, yeah. And people are buying those for $20.
Yeah. Oh, it's a bargain.
And getting soup.
And the soup, yeah, yes. Don't forget
the soup.
It's
good stuff.
15 to 20 hours. Now, yeah. How long does it take to make just a basic pottery bowl, Laura?
Well, the standard answer that every potter always gives is, 25 years, because this bowl didn't start out this in my hands this way just now. It's been 25 years of learning. But really and truly, a bowl will take a couple of weeks because, you start with the raw clay, you throw it, it has to dry, you have to trim it, it has to dry, you have to fire it, it has to cool, you have to glaze it, it has to be fired again, it has to cool. One of the things that people coming this year will see is a whole new section of our bowl room will be dedicated to demonstrations of bowl making. Both there'll be pottery bowl making, there'll be wooden bowl making, and there will be basket making.
Wow.
So you'll actually get to see somebody working on a wheel with clay. We've developed this. Linda Neely, who is one of our potters, is an expert whiz with computer graphics, and she's put together a fabulous pictorial poster of how long it takes to make a bowl. So you'll actually get to see step by step, and then the little glitches along the way that happen, a little crack, then that bowl doesn't work. And Tom's going to be in the demo area with a lathe. There'll be some wood carvers doing chip work, basketry, weaving. What else, Norm? I think
those are the main three.
I think those are the main three. But we're in the gymnasium this year, which people...
Well, that's a change.
That's a big change. And people will be able to figure out where we are. They'll see us. We're still at the soup kitchen. We're just in a different location. They'll see the beautiful decorations that are going to be outside that Wyatt Farms has donated. They're decorating the outside in a harvest theme. So you'll come in to the gymnasium and you'll follow our little maze and our little guides that will help you along the way. You'll do the same thing. You'll choose your bowl, then you'll get to go into the demo area while you're waiting for your serving time for the kitchen to actually open for the people to come in. So there'll be great opportunities to spend some time looking at posters of years past of empty bowl events.
So you get entertainment here, too.
And if you're really lucky, Norm will sing. He does a mean karaoke.
All right. Hey, let's hear it. Go ahead. No.
And it was actually Tom Simpson that brought the idea to us. After 6 years of so many of my friends are just in that, people who have been there before in that terrible hallway.
Waiting to
have a bowl of soup. And
patiently
Tom brought
waiting.
Us the idea of why don't we bang a hole in the wall and do it? Have people walk in from the gymnasium. Well, that proved to be too expensive, but he provided the seed of us thinking there's always a better way to do things.
Outside the box?
We're in the gymnasium now.
Outside the wall.
Nothing but room. It's we have a chance to have demonstrations and all the kind of things that Laura just talked about. So, Tom, thank you for the idea. It's going to be exciting this year.
Absolutely. Well, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors that make all this possible, and we'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here this afternoon. We've been having a great time talking not about empty bowls, but actually about full bowls, I think. When you talk about all the people that come together to make this project happen, Norm, you have had a tremendous group of people come on board to help with the food and getting all this wonderful soup. And I tell you what, if there's one soup you don't like, the one right next to it will be. You don't have just one or two soups to choose from, do you?
There's always, we have 8 to 10 varieties we just can't put out and keep hot,
right?
8 to 10 at a time, but there's always 4 or 5 that you choose from. There's always a vegetarian option. There's a child-friendly option. This year we've got Bob Elliott making his world-famous salmon stew. And there are over 15... very, very generous restaurants and businesses that are contributing this food. And we learned a lesson the first couple of years, and we started doing we had to start doing with soup what Laura talked about with bowls, because, you know, Lander University makes a mean shrimp bisque, and it just went so quickly that my wife helps organize the kitchen for empty bowls, and she's now splitting things like
thirds.
Shrimp bisque and Chef Harl's chili bean soup, the real popular ones. They're all popular, but they're one-third to make sure the 730 people get the same variety.
Get some of the good stuff, too.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
we've got the Medical Alliance doing all the home baked desserts.
Now Jamie, I understand they also, you have what, 25 ladies or something making desserts?
Mm-hmm. 25 people each provide 24 servings of desserts, so we end up with 600 desserts, and they'll all start showing up at my house tomorrow.
So are you the taste tester? I mean, do you get to taste them? I would find it very difficult to have all these wonderful desserts sitting on a dining room table and just saying, maybe just a taste?
Well,
okay, Jamie just said
so
yes.
Well.
Yeah, but they do outdo themselves, don't they, Jamie? We're not just talking about just a little dessert here, are we?
They're wonderful. And the exciting thing for me this year was I sent out an email to everybody who'd done desserts before, and I put it on my Facebook that I was looking for dessert donors. And in 24 hours, I had 17 of the 25.
Wow.
Just a great response and a quick response. And we have several new people this year who said, oh, I can do that. And so people who were not Medical Alliance members, but people who just said, I want to be involved. And so it's wonderful. I'm always happy every year to have more and more people who are doing it.
You know, it really sounds, even though this is a lot of work, it doesn't sound like it is a lot of work, is it, Jamie? It sounds like it's something you really love to do.
It's great, and it's spread among so many different people and different groups. That's one of the wonderful things about Empty Bowls, that we've got teenagers from Emerald Interact Club. We've got the potters. We've got the woodworkers. We have so many different groups that are involved that everybody's got their job, and they don't have to worry about that other part of it. And everybody's got an important job and a really big impact.
And Professor Dan Harrison from Lander, mm-hmm, always brings the very critical, necessary people to... parking is not the easiest thing at the United Center.
That's true.
So we have one of Gerald Brooks's finest helping us out to slow traffic down, and then through a set of walkie-talkies, making sure that everybody knows where the closest, where to go and get directions. And that's all done by Lander students. And Professor Dan has served us well over the last few years. And he'll be there again today, on Thursday with his... with his traffic jacket on.
You know, one of the things I must say is it looks like the weather's going to be good this year. I was there, year before, where it was pouring down rain, and this year it looks like the weather's going to be great. That's another blessing right
there.
Well,
it was one of the big concerns we had, because you do have to walk outside to get from the gymnasium to the dining room at the soup kitchen, and we had a plan, but we're not going to have to use it Yes.
Yes, that makes a difference.
I don't think the Weather Channel has ever said 0% chance of rain, but we have 0% chance of rain on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Knock on wood. There you go.
Friday's incredibly important for Howard's.
Now,
to have nice weather.
Now, Laura, what's going to be happening on Friday? So if you can't get there because the tickets are sold out, they have three seatings. They came up with a way to accommodate us, and Howard has graciously agreed to make the soup and donate it. So what's happening on Friday at Howard's?
Friday at Howard's on Main, we're providing what we call second helpings. So empty bowls, second helpings. From 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. we'll be at Howard's. We will have the bowls that were remaining at the end of the evening on Thursday.
But these are not leftover bowls.
They are not leftover bowls. They are bowls that we have made extra, on purpose we have extra bowls. So these will be those bowls. They will be put out on shelves. For the same $20, you will pick a bowl. You will choose one of two different soups that Howard has. There'll be cornbread, a dessert, and drink for you to have as well. And you can sit outside and enjoy the day and eat your soup and take your bowl with you, just as if it were the event on Thursday night. So if you're not able to come, it'll be a great way to support the soup kitchen and get a bowl.
And absolutely. The potters and claw. And the basket makers have done well over 700 bowls, and we will serve about 550 people on Thursday. That means there's going to be 150 bowls to choose from at Howard's. So,
well, you know,
be there.
It is terrific. And, you know, I was just thinking about the very fact that for just $20 you get this. The other wonderful thing, though, that happens at the soup kitchen is after you've finished and your bowl is empty, and even if you've scraped everything out of it that you can get, they take that bowl and clean it and bring it back to you, and you don't take home a dirty bowl. Jamie, that is a tremendous thing right there. You know, when you think about this now.
It is, and it's the Emerald Interact students that do that job, and so they are a wonderful help to us. They help people to their tables, they help reset tables for each seating, and they wash your bowls for you and return them to you.
And I have sat at tables where people were real concerned whether the same bowl would be coming back to them, particularly somebody that thought they had scored a bowl that everybody wanted. Not naming any people at the table.
we have not been sued in 7 years.
So you can be assured that the bowl that you give them will come back to you. And it's just it is a phenomenal experience. You know what I think is also so phenomenal is that you do it right there at the soup kitchen. I know there's been talk sometimes you could seat more people and do more. But, Norm, at the soup kitchen, people really get to see what a great place it is.
We think it's every year the committee talks about a different venue and more tickets. And it's very important for us, for the people who don't come to the soup kitchen every noon hour, to see the soup kitchen. As I said earlier on, we're proud of what we have there, and it's important for the people who have so much in Greenwood to see how the people are treated that don't have quite so much. So yes, we will always be at the soup kitchen.
Okay, well, you know, you could knock out that wall and go into the gym. But, that's a discussion for another day.
A big sponsor.
Okay. Well, you know, there are some pretty big sponsors out there, aren't there?
We might find someone if anyone's interested in that. They should contact Norm and help us make the event run even more smoothly than
for a mere $27,000, you can have your name on
the door.
Gymnasium after.
There you go. Hey, you know, these are the type of things, you know, but when you talk about something like this, you never know what's going to happen, do you?
You never know. We're an incredibly generous community.
Yeah.
We're truly blessed.
Yeah, we certainly are. And that center over there, you are listening to WCRS, the United Center. Certainly, if it wasn't for Dr. Parham and his vision, you wouldn't have had a great place to go, and so many of the organizations. And you got to say this about Dr. Parham. I know he doesn't like any praise, but gosh darn, anytime there was anything that was needed in that building, he was there making it happen. Mm-hmm. And God
and
bless him.
It's not just that building, as you well know. Here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. God bless him. And thank you so much for all you have done, not only for delivering babies, but for bringing this community forward. Hey, Laura, this is going to be great. I know you're looking forward. I got to ask you, any bells this year? I mean, you're famous for your bells. I got to ask the question. People look forward to the raffle for the bells.
No bells in the raffle this year, but we do have a beautiful fall-themed serving tray, handmade by Donna Connolly. It's got acorns and leaves on it. We have a beautiful wooden bowl that Tom Savoy has made, and we also will have a basket from one of the basket makers, so the raffle tickets will be available that night. You don't have to be there to win. You have a choice of which item you'd like to choose to win, so it'll be a great opportunity for you to win something, and all that money also goes to Empty Bowls, to the soup kitchen.
That's right. So, Tom, you're taking these bowls that you have right here. These bowls go to the soup kitchen?
Yeah, they'll be going to the soup kitchen and down to Empty Bowls. Sure will.
That's right.
I do this because it's fun, and my wife will only allow me to keep so many of them. So, as much as I like all of them that I do, it's going to a really good cause. So.
He's made a lot of bowls this year.
You know, I think that's something, though. It is something very satisfying. And, you know, I think we reach an age in life where doing something for others and doing something that's satisfying becomes more important than the economic reward that you could get.
Mm-hmm. It is. If you're involved in as a maker of art or a craft, and you can donate that to public service and help somebody out, and that's a good thing to do always.
Absolutely.
I said something earlier about teenagers. Adults, it's very important to learn that you can do good and have fun at the same time.
Absolutely. And Jamie, just one last word. I know that the Medical Alliance has worked really, really hard on this project, and we got to thank you for heading this up and making it all come together with the Potters and with Norm and everything. That's a great job.
Well, thank you. I'm just working on my little piece.
Well, it's an important piece, isn't it, getting those sponsors and everything lined up?
Well, we're all working on sponsors, and the Alliance is really... we make a lot of the things happen that evening, and so we're a lot of the volunteers that you see that are giving you soup. We're working with the teenagers, and we're making those desserts in the next few days.
All right. Sounds great. Hey, you know you're listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Norm, I know you want everybody that can, that has bought a ticket. You sure hope they're going to be there. They sold out so quick, and we don't want to forget to thank Howard's on Friday for donating soup there and the opportunity for more people to be able to pick out their own special bowl.
That's right. And Howard, I can't say enough about Howard Corley. He's been a good friend of the soup kitchen for many, many, many years, and this is just yet another example.
That's right. So Friday, if you can't go because the tickets are sold out, you can be there Friday. Uptown Greenwood, supposed to be a beautiful day, starting at 11 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Go down there, pick out a beautiful second helping bowl, not a second hand bowl. It will be a beautiful bowl right there that you get to choose for only $20. Hey, I tell you what, thank you all for coming out here today. It's been great.
Thank you, Ann. You've been such a great supporter of the Soup Kitchen over the years, too. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the bowl that you brought me. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.